This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's going on, everybody? Justin Morgenstein back with you on another edition of Phillies Today. Officially less than 2 weeks until Phillies opening day. I'm absolutely stoked, and we're here, man. Like, we are so close to Phillies baseball, and I just can't wait for it every single night to be able to watch them and see how this thing develops here. And I will say, for some weird reason, I am still enjoying the spring training games. Like, I'm obviously enjoying watching all the starters out there, and I'll get to it. But some of the offensive guys, some of the guys had really good offensive days on Thursday, so we'll touch on that for sure. But even just some of these young prospects, and I'm recording this on a Thursday night, but we'll come out on a Friday, which means today is the all important Phillies Pirates breakout game, where you'll see a bunch of the minor league guys. You'll see Aiden Miller out there. You'll see Otto Kemp out there, Justin Crawford. A lot of these guys that we've been watching, all spring and even before that, kind of be able to, showcase their skills against the Pirates. So that'll be a fun one to watch. But just watching them, watching the starters too, watching, some of these starters and guys in the bullpen as well. I just love spring training, man. Like, and the vibes are so good. And obviously, I'm excited for regular season baseball. But at the same time, there's nothing like a good 105 spring training game on a Thursday to get your juices going. So, I'm a big spring training guy. But with less than 2 weeks to go, I'm getting amped for this regular season to get going. So, looking forward to that for sure. The Phils will be in Washington in less than 2 weeks, taking on the Nationals. And the games are going to start to matter. But I will say, and it's just funny to think that, obviously, going into camp last year, the big storyline was, this team needs to get off to a hot start. They got to go win the division. And we obviously all saw that they did that. And then from there, we know what happens. And they end up, kind of falling off a cliff there in late June after the London trip. And they were never really the same team as they were in the first few months when they were the best team in baseball. And this team this year could get off to, a 15-2 start, and most of the fans will say, all right, just get me to October. We'll see what happens from there. And I just talked about on the pod last week how maybe some of the Sixers' apathy has started to set in a little bit, but I don't think it's gotten to the point yet where it's just like, we don't care. But at the same time, this team's going to have to prove that over the course of 162 and into October that they can sort of sustain some level of consistency here. And fans are going to be on board with this team, but at the same time, it's going to be a thing where it's get me to the Dodgers series in October, and then if they can get over that mountain, then we'll see. So I understand it, but at the same time, again, I always mention it, I'm excited for the grind of 162. So get me there. Just need them on a night-in, night-out basis, and we're really close to it. So I'm very excited for that. So bunch of things I want to get to on the pod today as we inch closer and closer to opening day. Want to talk about Trey Turner. Matt Gelb had a pretty interesting article in The Athletic this morning talking about, moving positions and the whole shortstop thing. So if you know me, I've kind of been on that with Trey ever since the division series last year, and would love to get in a little more detail on that and kind of touch on some of the things that Matt Gelb wrote in his article. Want to get to, you know, just some of the guys in the lineup. Obviously, a really good day for the Phillies offense on Thursday. They, you know, I think they scored like 50 some runs in the last five games. So don't let them get hot. But at the same time, like I said, you know, got to stretch that out a little bit and have some consistency once the regular season begins. So we'll touch on that. Touch on the final roster, which will, you know, what it's going to look like for opening day, because you have an injury to Matt Strom, which I will get to as well. And there's one more bench spot that has kind of been, you know, up for grabs this spring. And there's guy, you know, out of the different players that I mentioned last week that I think could possibly end up making this team that isn't on the 40-man roster right now. So want to get to that as well. And there was also some Wall of Fame news today that I have to talk about, and we'll see where that gets us. But we will start out, like I said, with that Trey article that came out today from Matt Gelb. Matt Gelb does a great job for The Athletic, always on top of everything relating to the Phils. And Trey Turner basically, you know, talked with Matt about the pressure that came with after last season, you know, pressure that came with fans basically talking about him moving off of shortstop and wanting to move him off shortstop. And, you know, a lot of people around baseball kind of questioning his ability to play that position as well. And he kind of talked about how that is going to motivate him moving forward and how that pressure and can lead him to having a better second half of his career at the position. And whether you believe it or not, he says he can do this and he can do it right. And it's something that moving forward, he feels really confident about. And I'll give you an exact quote here. He said, when asked about the skepticism of him sticking at the position and if he hears it or not, he says he 100% does. And it just the competitor in me. I hate when somebody says that you can't do something. I've always been like that. But now at this point in my career, I just want to get better. I don't even care what somebody says about me anymore. Obviously, it's annoying. But if I just play better, they can't say anything, right? So it definitely still motivates me, definitely still bugs me, but it's more personal with myself than it is about somebody else saying it about me. So I'm sure he understands how that sounds to a lot of fans and that it's more of a, you know, go show me sort of thing at this point with Trey Turner. And I think this is the year. I don't want to say it's a prove it year for Trey Turner because he's clearly on a massive 10-year deal and it's going to be, you know, he's going to be here for the long term, whether he performs well this year or whether he doesn't. He's going to be here for a while. But I think it's a prove-it year for him in the sense that if he wants to be a shortstop for the rest of his career, he knows he has Aiden Miller coming up behind him. This is the time where you have to prove that you are the guy that they signed to be here to play shortstop for 10 years. And whether that's just being a little more clean defensively, whether it's, you know, being able to field multiple routine ground balls in a row without, you know, any hiccups in there. I think that Trey Turner is out to sort of, you know, prove people wrong this year that he can play the position and play it well. And they don't need him to be some sort of gold glove shortstop here. You need Trey Turner to just make the plays he has to make and be reliable over there because you have a really good defensive infield on the other side. And Bryson Stott and Bryce Harper, and with JT too, you have a good guy behind the plate as well. And, you know, Boehm has obviously made strides since his first few years, but I wouldn't go as far to say he's a good defender at this point. But if Trey Turner can just play a consistent shortstop and you don't have to worry every time a ball is hit towards him, I think that's ultimately something that you'll take right now. And I think that we're at the point with Trey Turner to where if he's able to do that and if he's able to put up the offensive production that, you know, he did last year, because I think the offensive production sort of gets shadowed by the playoff series that he had, because he clearly had an awful division series against the Mets, and that's sort of the lingering taste in our mouths from Trey Turner. You know, before the hamstring injury, he was hitting at a really high level. We forget he was the starting shortstop in the All-Star game, and yeah, he had a leadoff home run in the spring training game today, so that was good to see. But I'm buying stock on Trey Turner being a productive hitter this year and, you know, hopefully being a really a guy that contributes really well out of that leadoff spot. So hopefully Trey can, you know, take that, I guess, fuel and, you know, be a competitor and ultimately have a bounce back year at the shortstop position and maybe get people off of talking him about him moving to the outfield. Because if it's similar to the first 2 years, and I ultimately believe that it is, like, I'm not sure that Trey Turner can do anything to really prove to me that he can become a better shortstop. But if he does, then, you know, good on him. And he is a competitor, so I'm sure that's something that is going to be motivating him throughout the year. So I mentioned his leadoff home run today, or yesterday if you're listening, against the Atlanta Braves, which the Phillies just absolutely whopped them, put 16 runs on the board. Trey homered. JT had an almost home run, a triple out the center. Kepler homered, I saw. Schwarber had a homer. So Bryson Stott had a homer. By the way, Bryson Stott looking really good in spring training as the spring is moving along. Has a OPS above 990, which is great to see. So looks like that elbow is feeling better. And I'm expecting a big bounce back year from Bryson Stott this year. If there was one guy I had to bet on to bounce back from his performance last year, it would be Bryson Stott, no doubt about it in my mind. And I think he's criminally underrated as second baseman at this point. And I think he could very well be in the running to be an all-star second baseman in the National League this year. But it's good to see that offensive production out of the lineup, obviously. And Trey Turner was back in the leadoff spot today after they moved it to Schwarber for a few games. And it's funny, I feel like they're going to end up potentially doing the thing where they use two different lineups depending on if it's a lefty or a righty. I'm not totally sure if that's going to be the case or not, but they've put Schwarber back in the leadoff spot for a few games there, and then they ended up moving Trey back in there on Thursday. So we'll see how Rob Thompson manages that early in the season and if he's flipping back and forth. But yeah, you know, I'm more in the camp of just roll one lineup out there and give it a couple months, and we'll see how it works out. And then if you want to make changes, if we're in late May, early June, and things aren't going well, if you want to put Kyle Schwarber back in the leadoff spot, be my guest. And, you know, I don't make a big deal out of the lineup necessarily, or as big of a deal as a lot of other people do. I think ultimately, you know, who you have on this team is going to be the hitters that you have, and the production you get is the production you get. But the one concern I do have is the protection of Bryce Harper, and that's why I do like having Kyle Schwarber in that cleanup spot for now. And hey, he had a 3-run homer on it today, and hopefully he can continue to do that as we get towards the regular season here. So,
yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I want to move off of that for a second. And actually, I'm going to keep it on Kyle Schwarber for a second. I know I didn't bring this up off of the top, but it's something I wanted to mention in the podcast for sure, is that I really hope the Phillies and Kyle Schwarber can get an extension done before the regular season starts. They've said that they've been in talks all spring, and it doesn't seem like it's something that is really hindering Kyle Schwarber right now, just in terms of his mindset and his mentality going into the season. But him and JT had been rumored to potentially be extension candidates as they go into the last year of both their contracts. JT, you know, I love JT, but I don't need him getting extended before this year. He's a catcher well into his 30s, and I'm not banking on him to be, you know, the next Yadi Molina in terms of longevity and playing the position well into their 30s. So JT, like, maybe into free agency next year, you bring him back on a shorter-term deal, but I am not extending JT Realmuto going into the season. But Kyle Schwarber, I'd really like to get something done because I do think he is one of the leaders of this team. And in terms of presence in the clubhouse, like, he's the guy. Like, Bryce Harper is the leader in terms of on the field, do it, your best player, lead by example type of guy. But in terms of the clubhouse presence, Kyle Schwarber's your guy. And he's also the second best hitter on this team. So I think that Kyle Schwarber should be back next year and beyond that. So I would probably guess the Schwarber would get something in the camp of like 3 years, $60 million, somewhere in the $20 million a year range. And again, I know it's another big contract that you have to add, and there are free agents out there this, you know, upcoming offseason that you're going to want to get in terms of Kyle Tucker, maybe Vladimir Guerrero Jr. if Bryce Harper moves back to the outfield. So there are guys out there, but I still think that Kyle Schwarber can do it into his 30s the way he has right now. And I know it locks up the DH position a little bit, but again, I still think Kyle Schwarber can be a really productive player into his 30s and be that voice in the clubhouse, that leader that this team really needs. So that's where I'm at with Schwarber with the extension. Moving off that now, have to talk about Matt Strom, mention him. He was diagnosed with, I think, a shoulder impingement that was bothering him, and the Phillies shut him down for a little bit, and he is going to be reevaluated on Saturday. But most importantly, no structural damage on that shoulder. And look, Matt Strom pitched a lot for the Phillies last year, took down multiple innings and a lot of outings for them, and was sort of a guy that you could bring in any sort of spot. So there's a lot of wear and tear on him for sure. And coming off an all-star year, you want to be really careful with Matt Strom. Going to be a very important piece of this bullpen, which, you know, feels a little less deep than it was last year. So big sort of, you gotta be very careful with this Strom injury. And I think that it's probable that he doesn't end up starting out on the roster on opening day. And you just want to, again, take it as slowly as you possibly can. But good news that there was no structural damage. And I'm probably going to guess that the guy who ends up replacing him is Nabil Chrismet on opening day. And he's, you know, done a decent job in spring so far. And there's a couple other candidates out there that you could potentially go. I'm assuming Joe Ross ends up making the team for the Phillies, but there's a couple other candidates out there besides Chrismet that could also end up taking that last roster spot, but he would probably be the guy I'd pin down to that as of right this second with, you know, the major league experience that he has and the pedigree that he brings here. Not that it's anything, you know, too crazy, but he has pitched in the major leagues for multiple seasons before. So I would guess that he would probably take that last roster spot if Matt Strom is unable to go in Washington in 2 weeks. So speaking of the roster for opening day, I'm going to sort of pivot off of something that I've said over the past few weeks, and I've kind of mentioned how the last bench spot on the Phillies roster was down to a couple guys here, and it was Cody Clemens and Buddy Kennedy for the most part there. I kind of want to move off that for a second. And there's a guy who is not on the 40-man roster for the Phillies right now who has really sort of produced well this spring, and similar to what I just said about Nabil Chrismet, I think has the major league pedigree to make this team and to be a contributor, and most importantly, is a right-handed bat, which the Phillies are sort of lacking there on the bench outside of Edmundo Sosa. And that's Christian Arroyo. Like, Christian Arroyo has put together some really impressive at-bats this spring. He's put up some good numbers and has had good offensive production for the Phillies. Can move around multiple positions a little bit, and like I said, has that major league baseball pedigree to where he has contributed at the big league level before. And I think, although you have to clear a 40-man spot for him, I think Christian Arroyo is probably the guy right now that I would say I'd feel most confident about starting on the 40-man roster in terms of somebody who could come in and produce and produce in a bunch of different ways for this offense and on defense as well. So I think Christian Arroyo is a good shot at making this team, and he's had really good production in the spring. So that is something where if you asked me a week ago, I probably would have said that it would have been one of Cody Clemens or Buddy Kennedy. And I still think that Weston Wilson was probably the guy that they wanted to take that last roster spot. But as we know, he's dealing with an oblique injury and is going to be out for a little bit here. But Yeah, I think that kind of leaves an open spot for Christian Arroyo, and he's looked good this spring, so I would not be shocked at all to see him end up being the last bench roster or bench guy on the roster here. So we'll see how it ends up playing out. It still could end up being Buddy Kennedy or Cody Clemens, but those guys are out of options, so they would end up obviously having to go be DFA'd and go on to waivers, and then they could be taken from there. So that is kind of my thoughts on the last roster spot. And if you had to ask me today who it's going to be, I think there's a good chance it's Christian Arroyo. So that's my thoughts on that. And the one last thing I wanted to get to before we get out of here is the Phillies announced today who their Wall of Famers are going to be this year. Usually they induct one or two guys into the Phillies Wall of Fame in August. It's going to be August 1st this year. And if you follow the Phillies Wall of Fame closely, it's sort of turning into the Basketball Hall of Fame for the Phillies in terms of, a lot of people just put someone in just to put somebody in. Like, no offense to Mike Lieberthal here. Mike Lieberthal was a great player and a little before my time. Like, Mike Lieberthal, I'm 25, and he was sort of the catcher that, I knew growing up when I was a little kid. But if I hear anybody's opinions on Mike Lieberthal, it's always a good player, but at the same time, wasn't, anything groundbreaking or wasn't some all-star catcher that was really just, a standout for the Phillies. But he is in the Wall of Fame. And the two Wall of Fame inductees for this year, Jimmy Rollins, makes sense. Jimmy Rollins, all-time Philly great, MVP, obviously was a shortstop for a World Series team and is one of the great players of this franchise's history. So that makes sense. But the other one, I'm not so sure. And the other one is Ed Wade. And so Ed Wade, Phillies, former Phillies general manager, former Phillies, was he general manager or president of baseball operations? I'm not totally sure on that. But Ed Wade gets the call with Jimmy Rollins to be inducted into the Phillies Wall of Fame. And again, Ed Wade, a little before my time, like I grew up right as Pat Gillick was becoming the general manager and then Ruben Amaro Jr. and so on and so forth. But I wouldn't say Ed Wade exactly brought excellence to the Phillies organization. And the fact that Ed Wade is now going on the Phillies Wall of Fame, like, Mike Lieberthal and a lot of these guys, like, why does it have to be, watered down so much to guys who, were important to this franchise, you could say. But at the same time, like, I wouldn't say they're all-time greats for the Phillies franchise. And the fact that he gets in is definitely a little interesting. And I was talking to Jack Fritz about it today, and he definitely agreed with that, saying that, he was a guy who, obviously brought in some talent here. And J-Roll and Chase Utley wouldn't necessarily have been here without Ed Wade. But at the same time, you could make that argument for Matt Klentak as well. Like, Matt Klentak was the one who, quote-unquote signed Bryce Harper, brought Zach Wheeler here, brought JT Realmuto here, and then Dave Dombrowski sort of has benefited off of that. So I don't know if Ed Wade is a guy that I would have pegged to get into the Phillies Wall of Fame at this point. And I know there have been some other guys put on the Wall of Fame that aren't necessarily, I think there should be an in-between for the Wall of Fame and a retired number, like sort of a Ring of Honor type of thing for the Phillies, to where, they're can be guys who are really good. Like, Jimmy Rollins should have his number retired, but a guy like Cole Hamels, for example, I'm not sure Cole Hamels had the longevity to necessarily get his number retired as a Philly. And if you know the rule anyway, it's typically been guys who are in the Baseball Hall of Fame only get their numbers retired. And that rule, I think, is going to change because Chase, Jimmy, and Ryan Howard should all have their numbers retired. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But for guys like, Cole Hamels, and for guys like, I don't know, say somebody on this core, maybe like JT Realmuto has had a very good Phillies career, but I don't know if he's, he's definitely not number retire worthy. Those guys needed a Ring of Honor to where they can, be honored above a lot of people, but at the same time, they're under the number retirement. So just a thought I had, but good for J-Roll. That's going to be a really fun night for him and a well-deserved night for sure. And his number will absolutely be retired one day. There will be nobody that will wear the number 11 in a Phillies uniform once again or ever again. So the fact that he gets his night in August is really good to see. But, it'll be Jimmy Rollins and Ed Wade night, not just Jimmy Rollins night. So people might disagree, but at the same time, I'm not sure that Ed Wade is exactly, the guy that I would point to and say that's what the Phillies franchise embodies right there. But Anyway, that is going to wrap it up for this edition of Phillies Today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the pod. And like I said, we are inching closer and closer to opening day. I'm just so excited. Can't wait. I need nights at Citizens Bank Park back. I need just to get to Citizens Bank Park, you know, have a cold beer, be a 75-degree night in May, and just be able to watch the baseball team. And like I always say, the grind of 162, we are so close to it. And just being able to watch this team on a night-in, night-out basis is always a pleasure, despite, you know, some people saying, get me to October. So, again, thank you for listening. Appreciate it, as always. And for Phillies 24/7, this has been Justin Morgenstein, and we'll talk to you next week. See ya.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.